Christ's peace be with you all. Reading from God's holy word, I will not read the whole first chapter of Genesis because it's long. And just because I think we know it, but there are points about it that are important to me that I wanted to share with you. And so here from the beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And then God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the water, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And so God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon earth." And so it was. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." And so God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply by earth." God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of every kind on the earth." And so it was. God made everything, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." And so God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, they were created, male and female. God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. I've given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seeds in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth and everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything God had made, and indeed, it was very good. The epistle lesson today is coming from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. It is the only one of Paul's letters that we have in its entirety unbroken. But I am reading in the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 28. "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom God predestined, God also called. And those whom he called, God also justified. And those whom God justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with his son also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to Matthew in the 28th chapter, beginning at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Brian asked if I'd saved a copy of this sermon. I said, well, I didn't put it in writing. Oh, well, then you can't save a copy. Nope. So the recording is probably the only one that will be in existence. It's the last one. But in many ways, it was the first one, the middle one, the ordaining one, and the 30 years of being in a pulpit one. Because it's about what is core to me. I wasn't going to cry. It is about what is core to me and has been my whole life. When I was in third grade, my mom and I had a spat. Now, she just had a baby, so I should have understood, but I was in third grade. At the end of second grade, the church we attended had given us Bibles, you know, because in third grade we'd be able to take them to Sunday school and learn to read them and all of that stuff. My mom was on a cleaning spree, which with a newborn and three other children, that's always a challenge. I think maybe there were people coming because, I mean, she was really cleaning. And we had a big fight. And I told her I was just going to leave home. That I didn't like being there anymore. She was vacuuming. She didn't hear me. So I went and I got my little teeny Barbie doll suitcase because that was the only suitcase I had. I took out all Barbie's clothes because I knew they wouldn't fit. I put my Bible, my toothbrush, and my toothpaste in there, and I ran away from home. I made it three blocks because the sun had been down for a couple hours and things are disorienting in the dark, and I finally found a street light at the baseball field of the school playground. So I brushed my teeth without water, don't recommend it, and I opened the Bible. And I read the first chapter of Genesis. And I thought about it. Half of it I couldn't understand. I was only eight. But God declared everything good. Probably even snarky, short-tempered moms with a newborn. So, put the toothpaste and the toothbrush back in the suitcase, put the Bible back in the suitcase. I zipped it up and I went back home. She didn't even know I was gone. But I knew I was gone, and I knew I came back. When I was wrestling with God, 12, 13, 14 years of age, I would sit on the beach and look behind me and see the mountains, the Sierra Madres. I would see the ancient volcanoes, that the seven of them that made San Luis Obispo County. And I would recite Psalm 121 over and over again. Because when I needed help, I could lift my eyes to the mountains and find God. Because the blessing of creation is the fact, not that God created the earth, but because God created at God's will to have things, to be in relationship, not just with the people, but with the creatures and the sea and the mountains and the air. And I had to bring my phone up because I took a picture. I didn't type this out. Walter Brueggemann, in his commentary on Genesis, says this: the testament of God towards creation is this: the binding which is established by God is inscrutable. It will not be explained or analyzed. It can only be affirmed and confessed. This text, Genesis, announces the deepest mystery. God wills and will have a faithful relation with earth. The text invites the listening company and community to celebrate that reality. The binding is irreversible. God has decided it. The connection cannot be nullified. Wow, I had to go to theological school to understand things like that. But I understood it as a kid and as a teenager. And then, as friends of mine were coming home in body bags from Vietnam when I was in high school, and we went to funerals, one pastor read that section of Romans, because I was being so brainwashed by Calvinism that I knew I was a worm and there was no way I would ever be good enough. And instead of looking for evil and the devil and fearing the torment of my own soul, at the age of 18, that pastor said that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not going to a war that people didn't like, not doing things for our government that people disagree with, not standing up and disagreeing with the government, there was nothing that could separate us from the love of Jesus. Now, when I was ordained, and at most of my installations, the text from Matthew has been read, because that's the call to the disciples, the call to every one of us to go bear witness to our God. And that's what gives me the courage to try and overcome my absolutely horrible phobia called stage fright, to stand up Sunday after Sunday in front of people and proclaim the word of God, because that's what we are told to do. But today, it's that very last piece. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And that's our comfort, isn't it? That's our hope. That's why we believe, because it means we don't have to do it alone. My journey has been one of faith, understanding religion, working hard to maintain that faith, no matter how polished theology school tried to make me, or how many times I had to do a funeral, and how many times my heart was broken. That faith has sustained me. I cannot explain the mysteries of God. I try. I cannot understand how God works in each of our lives completely. I see it happening. I know it when I see it, but I don't know how it came about or why it's there. But I know that no matter where we are, no matter what we do, the God who created us and decided that we are bound to God by God's relationship with us and God's choice is the only way we can get through life. And that's my testimony. It's been in every sermon I've tried to preach, and it's in the one I'm giving to you today. I have no fear for you. I have been your shepherd for 11 years. I have no fear for you because it's not about me. It's about God. And God is with you. God has always been with you, and God will continue to be with you. No matter what, no matter where, no matter how. You're in good hands. And I'll pop in and out and share your life as you will share mine in a new way. Praise be to God. Amen.